Who can say where the killer roams? When the blood flows, it's slaying time. Slay away. Slay away. Slay away.
Welcome back to Slay Away, the podcast where we discuss the inspiration behind your favorite horror films, lore, gore, and every kill in between. I'm your host, E.L. King, and on this very special episode of Slay Away, we're chatting with writer and director of The Seed, Sam Walker, for an exclusive interview about the Shudder original. The sci-fi horror comedy stars Lucy Martin, Sophie Vavasour, and Chelsea Edge as they set off to spend time in the Mojave Desert in an effort to gain more social media followers. It starts out as a weekend away in a remote luxury villa, but after an otherworldly meteor shower, it quickly turns into a tale of horror and death with a uniquely grotesque and erotic alien invasion to boot.
We're staying in this really cool house in the middle of nowhere.
Wow.
We're here to party and watch the biggest shooting star event since the dinosaurs checked out.
We really need to get laid, guys.
You ever seen a meteor shower before?
I cannot get a goddamn signal.
Wow.
What is it?
Oh my god, it's got a little face.
What is that piss-leaking dog rat doing in the house?
I couldn't just leave it. I was crying. I'm not letting you kill an innocent animal.
Killing it is the kind thing.
With what?
I don't know.
Hey, little guy. Thirsty?
Something really special.
It's an alien. It's dangerous.
Deirdre!
What?
What the fuck is that?
Amazing.
Sam, welcome to Slay Away. We're so excited to have you here to chat about your film, The Seed, that is premiering exclusively on Shudder this month. Super exciting.
Yeah, really exciting, yeah.
Well, how did you discover your passion for science fiction and the horror genre?
I'm not sure if I did. I started out with theatre and surrealism and sort of avant-garde art, I guess, weird performance art a long time ago. And then that drew me to sort of, there's a Czech animator called Jan Svankmajer that got me to cross over from theatre into film. So I made a few short films, and then I guess, you know, some of my favorite films are within that world. Alien being the number one choice, I would say. But I also really love The Thing. I guess one of the things I love about Alien is just how it's kind of got this sort of social political commentary in the background, you know, with this weird faceless corporation that sends them to this planet, and the faceless. Amoral computer that's only got one mission, which is to save the creature for corporate exploitation. And I love that you can, you know, I guess I love that within quite fun, entertaining films, you can tell more complicated stories and, you know, layer in metaphor. I mean, whether it's Alien or whether it's like, they, I mean, John Carpenter as well, like they, you know, They Live's amazing as well, isn't it? I mean, it's real popcorn fun, but it's also, it stays with you, you know, it gets into your brain a little bit.
Yeah, definitely. And Alien's one of my favorite films. So yes, that's perfect. We share that in common. I was going to ask you what your favorite science fiction or horror film was. Is Alien the top of your list?
I'd say Alien's at the top of my list. Yeah. I guess the reason for that is, you know, it's, there's so many reasons for it, isn't there? The cast are amazing. The setup's amazing. It's like a weird sort of haunted house in a spaceship movie. I love how the creature operates and how, you know, I mean, you forget that actually with Alien, when you first watch it, you don't realize that it's going to end up as this colossal monster leaking acid through your spaceship. You think it's like a weird little worm thing. And then, I love those sort of that development of creature. And it's certainly something that was at the forefront of my mind when I was trying to develop the creature for the sea, was this thing that starts as one thing and becomes something else. So I was certainly influenced by that. And I also, you know, with Alien again, you know, the influence of fine art, you know, through the sort of the hands of H.R. Giger, sort of layering in this very strange, bizarre texture and design work to the monster, and the world generally is amazing. It makes the film have tons of depth. And I guess not trying to compare the seed to Alien, but you know, I was out to try and take some of that influence in that we when I was looking for ways of doing the kind of creature, I stumbled across these artists called Federica Dowry and Hermes Patakos, who are performance artists and had worked with like weird carpets of meat. And so I thought, you know, that's the way to go, isn't it? Popcorn creature feature with a social commentary and fine art design and conceptuality sort of within it, I guess.
Well, I actually have questions for you about all of those things. So why don't we jump in? Let's talk the alien creature. And there's just these really stunning special effects, specifically the creature design and makeup, which I thought was just fantastic. And I was going to say, well, we could compare the effects and gore to John Carpenter's The Thing, because that's what really it evoked for me.
The seed.
I felt really pushes some new boundaries, and it felt really unique. And it was like nothing I'd seen before in terms of the creature aspects and just the special effects itself. So can you tell us more about the creature design and just its beautifully like sensual makeup effects that give it that erotic horror touch? Because we love the gore.
It's interesting. I spent quite a long time trying to design the creature. And I was like, well, how do you make a creature that looks, that could be credibly of this planet, so that the characters don't seem stupid for not spotting that it's an alien, but it's also can be an alien? There's sort of a fine line there, because if it falls in the pool and it looks like an alien, then, and the characters are like, you know, they don't know what it is, you'd be like, obviously it's an alien. So I guess I was looking for like ways in which you could do a creature that had that balance, that alien feeling, but could still be credibly of the Earth. And I ended up looking at a bunch of like panda cub babies, and I was looking at things that had washed up on the sea around. If you go in and Google creatures that have washed up around the, you know, washed up creature, found creature washed up or what have you. I found a three-toed sloth that had washed up without its skin on a South American coast that just looked completely alien, but is from this planet. And then I found this. If you look up a pig dog, there's a really amazing Filipino pig dog, which I'm not quite sure whether it's a byproduct of pollution or just some strange anomaly, but it looks definitely between a pig and a dog. And I guess I wanted something that you couldn't quite place, like not a traditional monster. Also, you know, the film being kind of to do with social media, and you know, the creature is, I suppose, a metaphor for social media. That was my initial ideas. And you know, it starts out quite benign and kind of quite helpless, which is kind of, and then become something else, you know. And I think that all seems to kind of work. because of COVID and the way in which the film ended up getting made, the actual creature itself, we were designing it via Zoom and WhatsApp messages. Dan Martin in London and I was in Malta, sort of just going, can you make the eyes look a bit more like a wombat? can we do this? Can we do that? And then it showed up on set and I had to shoot it pretty much the next day. So it was a lot of improvisation and trying to work out how to best operate this thing. Yeah, it's I wanted to have more hair on it, but we couldn't afford hair. We couldn't afford hair, so it ended up this weird skinless eraser head thing. Because in fact, that's the other monster that I really love out of genre cinema. I suppose it's not genre cinema; it's complete whacked out cinema, isn't it? Is the creature in a razor head? It's still just like every time I watch that film, I'm like, that's just such a great monster, such a great creature.
Well, and I know that they're like, oh, it's like a bear or maybe a bear cub with no hair. And then to me, when it's later on in the film, when you see the creature, I was like, it definitely feels like a de-shelled turtle to me. That's what I was getting.
A de-shelled
turtle. But like much larger.
Yeah.
Sort of like if you look at, I guess if you go way back to like Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, you see like the big... in The Ooze, the second film, there's like a big turtle creature. It's sort of like that without the shell, but like there's like a whole lot going on. And I like that it really actually felt like a lot of different creatures together. So like you really couldn't quite place it when you looked at it from different angles.
Yeah, it's a funny one. We spent quite a long time on the eyes, actually. It didn't quite work the way I'd envisioned. Like I really wanted it to be blind with cataracts, but I'm not sure if that's kind of quite worked. It does look like it's blind and it certainly looks helpless, but Dan created these really nice cataract eyes for the thing. It's tricky. Practical effects are difficult, you know, particularly on sort of low budget cinema. You basically just have to kind of improvise around what you've got. In fact, there's a moment where the creature's fingers move. And I was like, wow, that's such a nice moment in the film because it makes it look like it's more animated. But that was done when one of the runners accidentally caught the hand on a piece of fishing wire that he was using. And I was like, oh, stop, don't anyone move. Let's just film those fingers going. So you get these little accidents. And I guess, the creature itself had been designed with a view to the fact that we wouldn't have a ton of money to do it. And, you know, so... let's not have something that gets up and runs about or anything that requires a bunch of VFX to do it. I think someone described it, like sort of a bit like when it's lying in the bed, a bit like a strange skinless James Bond bear just sitting around waiting to have sex with you, which I thought was quite
something
a nice
like
word. I quite like that.
Well, I had read something else where you had called your film this apocalyptic interdimensional alien sex flick, and I loved that quote.
Yeah.
And on our viewing of the film, we found that it really crossed into like cosmic body and erotic horror, and it had these great gore-filled moments where I actually yelled out, oh my goodness, like literally, I was talking out loud.
Well, that's great. I'm so glad.
And then, and that was just during those ooey-gooey parts, and then I loved it. And I laughed a lot too, which was great. And I liked having this range of emotions while I was watching the film. But you wrote and directed The Seed. And I wanted to know, like, what inspired the story and the characters?
Yeah, that's interesting. That's an interesting one. I mean, I guess I've been looking around for a project to make, and I spent a long time trying to get a first feature off the ground. And I'd been living in the desert in California, and I built a house out there. A little cabin in the dust, and I felt like the location was somewhere that was it had a kind of a menace to it. The isolation has a menace to it that could be achieved on a lower budget, kind of like I was thinking like a chamber piece that doesn't feel like a chamber piece, because that's probably what I could afford to get made. And then I guess when you're making a film, a lot of things kind of collide together for the thing to kind of ferment in your head and come out in the writing. And so I guess Joshua Tree, the desert, isolation. And then I watched David, The Man Who Fell to Earth again, the Nick Rogue film with Dave Bowie in it. And I watched the insane sex scene in that with the milk and the trampolines. And I was like, that is so crazy. Nick Rogue, you're so crazy. I love it. And I really wanted to do something that was really like, that really like felt otherworldly and completely insane in that kind of way. That Nick Rogue had done it in that film. There's also a painter called Amber Wellman, Amber Wellman. She's called The Night. I've been looking at her stuff, and she's this amazing artist that paints these sort of blurry female forms. You can't quite make out. They look like they're involved in some sort of erotic act. And then in one of them is like a cat watching. And I was thinking, God, that's weird. Erotic kind of like morphing bodies, a cat, isolation, the desert, David Bowie, sex and trampoline scenes. I guess also just a growing disquiet that has now become more like a raging fear that social media is the devil's work, and it needs to be controlled, or you know, we need to fix this problem. And I think there's a lot of artists that are increasingly concerned with how social media is manipulating our realities around us and through us. So I guess those elements kind of all collided together. And then I just sat down and wrote it in 2.5 weeks.
Oh, wow. That fast.
Yeah. The first draft was 2.5 weeks. It took me. Oh, okay. Yeah. It took 2.5 weeks, first draft.
Yeah. And there is some really interesting, like, playful commentary on influencer lifestyles and social media in culture in the film. And I wanted to know if you can just highlight on some of the themes that you're exploring in the film.
Well, I guess, you know, like, I guess I was thinking about how, you know, we sort of all, like, social media kind of came into our lives in quite a fun way. We were like, oh, that's cool. I can see my friends. There's friends. Okay. I can post pictures up. Okay. Look, here I am on the beach, mum. That's nice. Look, my mum can see me on the beach or whatever, you know, sort of, it seemed quite benign and not the insanely destructive force that it seems to have become. And so I think I love that idea of something that seems quite innocent that you bring into your house, you bring into your, let's say, bring into your world, and then has something terrible inside it that wants to kind of hypnotize you, impregnate you and destroy you. So that I guess it's kind of a simple way of sort of saying that this stuff is dangerous and we need to think about it. The big danger with social media is the algorithms and how they're kind of, they just want our attention. They want our attention and they don't care how they get it. They don't care what we look at. And, you know, we're naturally as humans kind of attracted to things that are, I guess, you know, that trigger us a little bit. And I do think it's a really dangerous time for the world with how the algorithms are working, how you can go from how you can be you know, your auntie's watching a few videos on YouTube and the next thing you know, she's sending you QAnon clips. You know, it's a very slippery slope and it can happen quite quickly and it's changing the world. So I guess, you know, the seed is a popcorn creature feature with a metaphor that speaks to that sort of hidden in it. That's kind of what I was after, I guess.
Well, I have to comment personally on the entire third act because I thought it was really fucking incredible. It's super wild. There's the unique transformations, the death battle, the gore, the cowboy.
The cowboy.
Performances, of course. And I obviously love a final girl. But yeah, the cowboy piece, I was like, oh, okay, it comes full circle from the comment at the beginning of the film. And it was just really, really fun. So I wanted to make sure that I let you know that.
Oh, bless you. That's the bit that's where all the fun kicks in, isn't it? It's the killings I love the cowboy. I love that.
It is just like start to finish from the, oh, we're transforming. And then, there's a whole lot going on. But it was super fun the whole time. And I was really entertained. And Chelsea's performance was just absolutely fantastic.
Yeah, she's cracking. She really went through the mill on that last day as well, up and down, dragging herself around through the dust. And actually, Sophie and Lucy as well. I mean, that where we shot that was not the most hospitable of environments. And you know, you put that oil on, and it attracts the flies. So, you know, these girls really went for it. You know, and they were up for the gore and up for the frothing and the puking and the dying in the dust, and bless them for it. You know, they didn't need to have put themselves through that, but it's a testament to their fortitude as actresses that they committed to it so wholeheartedly. Honestly, the desert was it was brutal for me, and I wasn't covered in oil and flies. And Chelsea's great as well. Amazing.
There's a scene in particular when the two are transforming and they're just like barfing black oil at Chelsea's feet. Is there anything coming up next for you? And, you know, are there any other film projects on the horizon that, you can discuss?
I've got a little slate of projects. I've got a slate of projects that I've been working on for a while. A new feature that I'm writing with a really great writer called Tim Reeves, about a bear, Jaws with a bear. But it's pretty great. Pretty excited about it anyway. And also I'm out in in Egypt at the moment, just checking out some desert locations for a film about nuns. I know that there's been a few recent ones, but I'm such a massive fan of the Devils and such a massive fan of Black Narcissus that is it the Church of the Holy Beast? Which one is it? That Japanese one where they whip each other with thorns. So I've really wanted to do something about nuns. I think it's just something really iconic about those movies. And so I'm working on something now that's set in the desert. In a very hot desert, about a nun who can't feel the power of love for God, and really wants to, and she goes to extraordinary lengths in order to do so. I suppose that's roughly that probably is enough. I guess I don't want to say much.
Yes,
more about
just
it,
but enough hinting.
Yeah, a nun who can't.
We'll definitely be on the lookout for more information about the projects that you're working on. Thank you again so much for coming by. It was really fun to chat with you.
Yeah, well, thanks for your time as well. It's great to hear people's takes and thoughts, and after such an arduous experience of making the thing, it's really nice for people to enjoy it and say they do and to get that feedback. So thank you very much as well.
Shudder, AMC Network's premier streaming service for horror, thrillers, and the supernatural, will exclusively premiere The Seed on March 10th, 2022. Be sure to go watch The Seed and share your thoughts with us.